If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I think we've all walked away from this conversation having learned a lot. Not only the vast, as you can imagine, the last 24 hours, we've been distilling the outcomes, the consequences, and way forward regarding the postponement of the South African budget speech. Me and my colleagues in the media world, in the financial services environment, consultancies, all headed down to Cape Town over the last 2 days to actively participate in the budget speech. But guess what? We'll do it all again on the 12th of March. But the 12th of March is a peculiar date. If you consider the fact that the financial year end for government institutions is the end of March, what does this mean then for municipal budgets, who typically take their lead and guidance from the national budget speech, and as a consequence to that, service delivery from municipalities who might not have managed their finances adequately and might not be able to access drawdowns as allowed for by the PFMA? Well, someone who knows more about this and will help us contextualize the impact of the delayed budget speech and its influence on municipalities and their budgets, we're joined by a good friend of the show, Group Chief Advisor at Ndiso Consulting Group, Mielani Oleni. Such a pleasure to have you with us again, Mr. Oleni.
Good evening, Gugu, and good evening to the listeners. It's a new day, I suppose, from yesterday.
I can imagine you've been on calls, in meetings, flabbergasted, astonished. Maybe just give us your immediate reaction to this, because ultimately nobody saw it coming.
Well, it was a complete shock. I mean, I also have good friends at the National Treasury, and they too confirmed that, you know, they knew nothing of this sort. So it means it was a very closely guarded, you know, secret. I also spoke to a minister as I was returning back, you know, from Cape Town today.
Yes.
And they too confirmed that, you know, they were not taken into their confidence. So the economy cluster would not have seen it coming. So I think it's something that, you know, we ought to look at, you know, because the integrity of the budgetary process is sacrosanct, because that's what drives, you know, how the economy must work, the trust, you know, that the public must have in the budgetary process, the trust that, you know, the, you know, investors must also have on the budget, you know, process. So that is something that, you know, I think comes into question immediately.
Mm.
Where is the integrity of that budgetary process, given the fact that the rest of the people were not in on this, especially those who are in the economic cluster?
Mm. And that's important, right? Because a heightened level of communication, especially related to our fiscus, is critical, as you allude to the integrity. Does this raise concerns for you as a consultant and key stakeholder who engages quite heavily with the government?
It raises, I think, a serious concern. But here's a concern that, you know, it raises for us is the... In fact, you know, for one moment, one can blink and close their eyes, you know, to the issues of the budgetary process and the integrity thereof. But I think the creativity as well as the ideas, I mean, in one of the conversations we were having yesterday is you can pull a rabbit out of the hat, you know, so many times, you know, but, it's about magic. The issue of public finances is a very delicate process that ought to be approached in such a way that, you know, it balances a number of factors. In fact, the president led with a very, very key way that he, when he presented the SONA, three key things: economic growth, shield the poor from a high cost of living, as well as, you know, the reforms, you know, to government. So then 2 weeks later, the shielding of the poor from the high cost of living seems to have been forgotten in the way that, you know, the proposals were coming in. So we feel that, you know, the proposals to go to VAT was not well thought through. Government still has a number of levers that they can pull, of which they would have had to patiently work on. So instead of, you know, rushing for the simplest but the most painful, there could be at least, you know, the other levers, you know, such as, you know, the property portfolio of government, if you don't get it, the tariffs that, you know, government, you know, charges. If you look at, you know, the size of, you know, the DORA or the budget in terms of, you know, all the attachments, there are leakages currently with revenue across government, which when put together, I can tell you that the 58 billion that they were looking to get from VAT could have been obtained and even more. So I think from a consultancy point of view, we're decrying the fact that government in this case has chosen the easier road and does not want to follow the road, you know, that will take it to sustainability.
I'm glad that you allude to the fact that there are alternative levers, which is different from what many other commentators have been sharing. This also brings into the conversation the fact that we just need to continue investing in SARS to improve their efficiency within the current tax base to improve their revenue collection. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think for me is I would have to, I support, you know, firstly, the fact that, you know, SARS has been is at its efficient you know position. We must continue, but government revenue, and I think let's rebuff this notion. Mm-hmm. Government revenue is not just tax revenue. It's not just, you know, taxing the population. Government has multiple other things. Go, let's look at, you know, the portfolio of state-owned companies. Do you know that there's about 700, you know, state-owned enterprises or companies?
And that's critical for us to know, because we typically focus on the big ones.
And if you look at, you know, even if you just take, it's critical for us. And if you just take 20% of that that number, a lot of them have got the revenue-generating mandate. And so that revenue-generating mandate has to be prioritized and supported. So if government were to spend at least, you know, some whatever money that would go to strengthen those SOCs in their quest to generate revenue, as some of them have to who can generate revenue from imports, you know, or exports. Some of it, you know, from the logistics that, you know, they provide, the tariffs, you know, if you think of, you know, the fisheries, and you can literally take each and every sector of the economy which has, you know, revenue that must come into the state. And no one has at this stage, you know, bothers to go and look directly at where is that revenue? Is it coming in? Is it complete? What are the leakages? Where are the leakages? How do we plug those leakages through the technology? So if you take the model that SARS has at least adopted, and you almost, you know, take it to the other revenue-generating institutions of government, and just government at this point in time, and plug in at least a revenue entity that starts to look at that revenue or the income that must come from those SOCs, you will reach, in our view, from the 58 billion that, you know, was going to be raised from that, you could easily start generating almost 500 billion, which, you know, would be a game changer for where government is.
Sure.
Wouldn't be talking about, you know, the deficit, you know, from where the deficit, you know, currently is at. And we use this, you know, we use empirical numbers that we're seeing from a local government point of view,
mm-hmm.
Where one of the clients, for instance, was collecting at about 2.2 billion. But after looking at, you know, the leakages and making sure that the process works, they've been able to raise their revenue about 48% and now collecting at about 3.7 billion. So here's an entity 6 months ago that was sitting at 2 billion. So if you aggregate those numbers across the different, you know, industries, you'll soon see that, you know, annually, you'd be able to collect, you know, well in excess of about 500 billion from the different pockets that are not being looked at actively.
Mielani, this is so important, because what you're reminding us of is the fact that the likes of SABC, Denal, DBSA, Eskom, Transnet, they should actually continue to perform well and generate the necessary revenue that can then be allocated to government as a key shareholder within this organization. Mielani, the big question that everyone is certainly asking is, what does this delay mean? Because National Treasury, as it does make its announcement, their move is typically followed by provincial governments and municipal governments, who then announce their budgets that will be allocated in order to ensure that service delivery takes place. What's the unforeseen consequence of this postponed budget at a municipal level?
Well, I think there's no crisis in terms of the delay.
Okay.
The financial year will only be starting on the 1st of April. What the provisions of the DORA Act, you know, also allows, you know, it allows, you know, in case of whatever incapacity that may take place, for expenditure to continue based on the DORA Act, you know, which is the previous one. So at worst, you know, you will be at least, you know, allocated the monies that, you know, would be have been allocated in the previous financial year. In this case, the equitable share for municipalities is going to rise to about 106 billion. So you can tell that the margin is it's really a marginal situation in this case. So service delivery will definitely continue.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's now making sure that that service delivery that is supposed to take place does, you know, at least, you know, get, you know, they must achieve the milestones that have been put forward. So that's the key thing. But government, you know, would not stop, you know, because of a delay of maybe about, you know, a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The financial year only kicks in on the first. The only thing is that, you know, there must be now hard at work to ensure that, you know, they prepare for when the budget is finally announced, and so that, you know, the transfers can take place. But I don't think, you know, there's any kind of a crisis that we should worry about. So the issue is the confidence in the budgeting process. Mm-hmm. The functioning of government definitely continues.
Got you. At least you've allayed our fears with regard to that there, Mielani. To close off with, I can imagine if you had the ear of key players in National Treasury, members of the GNU, before we get to the 12th of March, where we certainly hope we'll see the budget being tabled and presented and hopefully fully accepted, what would your suggestions be in terms of the options that we can consider? You've mentioned them from a revenue point of view, but are there additional factors that need to be brought to the fore here?
Well, I think the biggest one in this case is we want an expansive economy. We want a productive economy as opposed to a consumption-based, you know, economy. So if anything, the sweating of assets, you know, of government is crucial. Sweating of even from the previous conversation to look at, you know, the efficiencies around the collections of your excise, you know, duties, you know, your customs, you know, duties. There's a lot of leakages in there. And let's also mention the fact that, you know, the very VAT that is being raised also needs to be optimized to the point that, you know, there are no leakages, where you find, you know, companies are registered, 12 months later they are claiming VAT to whatever extent. So those issues of fraud and corruption needs to be looked at within the entire value chain. Mm-hmm. So sweat the assets of government, close the leakages in terms of, you know, even the collection of revenue. We hail SARS, you know, for the great collection, but there's still room to collect, you know, much more revenue. And what they don't always tell us is what they should have collected, but they always give us a target. But what should have been collected is what the number is that must be chased. Ah, so that delta is so important going forward. But government must just sweat its asset and must be prepared to put in the work. And if not, you know, they must, you know, call us, the consultancies, to work with government in some of this project.
So quite frankly, we don't have a money problem.
We don't necessarily have a money problem, but we have an application and an efficiency and a productivity problem that we sit with. Of course, you look at the structural reforms of government. Those must happen. If you add them to all of the things that, you know, can be a plus for government, we may end up not having money. We should not have taken ourselves to a point where we've borrowed to the level that we've borrowed at, and servicing interest to the level that, you know, serviced interest at. So the issue, as I say, is let's not try to pull a rabbit out of the head. Let's go and sweat the assets of government.
100%. This is why we thoroughly enjoy speaking to you, Mr. Oleni. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you.
That's Mielani Oleni, Group Chief Advisor at Ndiso Consulting Group, reminding us of the fact that, hold on, there is no need to panic. So as South Africans at a municipal level, the show will go on. Budget allocations will take place within the next financial year. We will see capital being allocated to ensure that there's adequate delivery of services going forward. But coupled with that, that options do exist. That the government has alternative levers to pull at versus just choosing the easy option of actually seeing and proposing a 2% increase in VAT. Whilst it might be good, as we heard from our previous guest, who's a tax specialist, Lance Callop, ultimately there's a relationship that takes place. When GDP is great, then you can actually increase VAT. Buoyancy was the word that he used, that ultimately if you see a level of growth of 100 rand in GDP, you can actually go beyond collecting 15 rand in terms of VAT. It can go above that. So that's actually what's required. As Mielani has mentioned as well, we don't necessarily have a money problem, but it's really just about the implementation, the follow through and the innovative solutions that need to be sought to pull at the additional levers that we can access.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.